You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
The testimony to how well God's Word works inside of people to me was most evident during that time when you saw people process a lot of difficult information and come out and know what was true and what was false, what was important and what was not important. Maturation on the part of a congregation is only possible because they internalize the Word of God and doctrines that stabilize and strengthen Christian faith.
Many of us would be quick to agree that it's much easier to recognize God's faithfulness out of hindsight than it is in the midst of a struggle. Whether it's financial, health, scandal, or otherwise, we sometimes lose sight of God's goodness. In today's message, Pastor Tom reflects on some of the struggles they faced in Hope Bible Church and the growth that followed. In his study, you'll learn how their determination to hold fast to sound doctrine and trust in the Lord carried them through difficulty. Now, here's Pastor Tom as he continues his message, The Story of Hope.
There were things like trips to Israel that helped people learn Scripture and inspire them. There were groups of people that I took, I think in the previous time as well, to the Shepherd's Conferences in Los Angeles. Some of the men, as they got those 4 days of teaching, nonstop teaching, they caught even a greater vision for what the kind of church was that we wanted here in Maryland, and it really helped them to take a step forward. We added to the elder board Pastor Tony, and then Pastor Rod, and later Pastor David. We experimented with something during our first hours called communities, which helped us to shepherd our people in some ways, but we found out the longer it went on that it didn't help so much with the unity of our church. We had our first sunrise Easter service, which was exciting. People served on cleaning teams that allowed them to own the care for the building. God added musicians, which Doug and Diane had been praying for a long time. The website was finally improved. We had other ministries, like in the women's ministry with Pam Jolly's care for our college students. Our logo was improved. You think that's a small thing, but sometimes these things really help a church just kind of find itself. We finally had a permanent church sign on the road where people could find us. I used to call us the worst advertised church in the state of Maryland. Our security team was launched during that time as we heard around the country of dangerous things that were happening in different local churches. The publishing of books ministry had its beginning also with kind of Mel Surgine offering his transcribing skills for our sermons. There were new small groups that later were developed. Henry and Thelma started one from another group and then came along the Quebecs and the Dossetts and Stewarts and Rhodes and Mahonies and others that helped fill out the church and minister and care to our people. During this time, the deacons really came into their own. We added Sean and we added Brandon and others, and they began tackling problems in the church. Sometimes without the elders even knowing about it, and that's really how deacons are to function, and it was exciting to see that. Our women's leaders that we called women's teachers that we took through our track also were added to as well, Diane and Morag and Lisa and Debbie. And through these years, we had an impact, kind of a quiet thing that's happened through the years, but I think one of the more important things that God has allowed Hope Bible Church to do, and that is to have impact on young men who sense a calling to the ministry and really needed a church to guide them, realize their calling, in some cases, get behind them financially, pray for them, and in some cases actually send them forth to seminary. Juan Moncayo, who came here as a very young man, a teenager really, realized his calling into the ministry, went back to his home country of Ecuador, and now is not just a missionary there, but the senior pastor of La Fuente and one of our missionaries. There was Steve Gadula, who came here along with Tony and heard the advertisement on the radio, and he learned a lot about ministry here and went off to the master's seminary after George had been sent there. And then there were local pastors who came to our Bible Institute that we were able to invest in, including a young pastor up in Pennsylvania. We have now at the Master's Seminary a missionary, a man who wants to be a missionary to South America, and others who were, while they were here, not actually involved in our leadership program, but the way we did church and how we loved them formed their understanding of a local church. One of those is Caleb Neal in Louisville, Kentucky, at the seminary there. We also saw, sadly, during this time, some of the passing away of our key members going on to be with the Lord. For them, it was a time of rejoicing. For us, it was a reminder that we're not here just to build ourselves on earth, but all of us need to have an eye on eternity. Two big steps we took during this time. One is, we decided to plant another church, Baltimore Bible Church, with George Lawson as the founding pastor, who by then had already graduated from seminary and was ordained to full-time gospel ministry. We gave him a core group, donating some dozen of our own families to George, let them stay a year inside of our church. George was an elder inside of our church, and they incubated here, and then we launched them out, I believe, in 2012. Some of those who chose to join George in the church plant had had their hearts broken in a previous Bible church in Baltimore where the pastor had been caught in sin and not properly repented, and they showed up here hurt, and now they sensed a calling to go back into Baltimore and plant a church that would continue to reach out in the city with a burden for them. We also, the other big step we took is we knew that in the office park we were in, that the portion of the building next to us had already been rented out by another company, and if we were going to grow and we had several years left on the lease, the only way we could do it was to rent another building across the parking lot that we ended up calling the Annex. So we did that, and it allowed us to have some key events at the church and to grow our first hour program, and allowed us to continue to grow in size. One key event that we had during this time was a pastor's conference with none other than our beloved Dr. John MacArthur, who came here along with Dr. Steve Lawson, two of the great preachers in our country at this time. They came and they ministered to over 100 local pastors on the importance of expository preaching. Again, God was using our church sort of as a catalyst to build a region of churches that were dedicated to expository preaching and other distinctives. Towards the end of this phase, we again desperately needed more than one associate pastor, but still had none. But the rent for our building was becoming so excessively high year after year. And God did what those of us that stared at the numbers seemed to be an impossible answer to prayer. He got us out of two very difficult leases. Who's going to take over a difficult lease, much less two? And he got us out of both of those leases. He found a bank that was willing to finance us in this area. It's very hard to do. The elder board debated what should be our next step, hiring or more evangelism, getting on the radio, going out and getting a facility. It was a hard debate. We ended up hunting for a facility. We hunted everywhere. Some buildings did not allow us to grow adequately and would have quashed the whole vision of the church. Others were too far away, and country-like people liked it, but the more city-like people did not. Others were just too costly. They were astronomical in price. We had a stewardship campaign laid before, many of you remember, you know, here's our need. Can you donate your hours? Can you donate your money? We really need you to rise up, and people did, and some gave tremendously during that time. And it allowed us to buy this very facility that you're in, a multi-million dollar facility. As this period drew to an end, again, interestingly, but sadly, we faced having to discipline a church elder. That was very unsettling to the church at large. We faced yet another critical test. Right as we are about to take another big step of faith, my, how God does things. And that led us into stage number 5, the stage that we're in. We are now officially young adults. Well, the church is anyway. Young adult years. These are our most recent years, from 2018, roughly January, we'll call it, to now, July of 2020. This is our time right here at Guilford Road in Columbia. At the beginning of 2018, for a few months, we met at Athelton High School, and we were still recovering from the pain. And it's interesting that during that time, God blessed us. We grew in size, and God allowed us to heal. It was really an amazingly wonderful time at the high school. People stepped up, and they showed their commitment to the cause. The testimony to how well God's word works inside of people, to me, was most evident during that time. When you saw people process a lot of difficult information and come out and know what was true and what was false, what was important and what was not important. Maturation on the part of a congregation is only possible because they internalize the word of God and doctrines that stabilize and strengthen Christian faith. And we saw that. It was amazing to see the philosophy of ministry working in the lives of people to give them the understanding to continue to work for God's kingdom. And we finally owned our own building after 20 years. I don't know if you remember how you felt, those of you that have had this experience, when you finally bought your first home and you realized you could put a nail in the wall and not have to describe what you were doing to anybody. Susan and I were married many, many years before we could even afford our first home. So we know when you get to that point that it is truly exciting. Well, we spent time praying over the building and lots of time, yea, hundreds of hours working on this facility with Bill Waller organizing all of it, Bill Beidler doing a lot of the maintenance, and too many men and women to mention who were here for dozens, if not hundreds of hours giving their time. God even reduced the building's price by over 27% from when we first started looking at it. And again, as we responded to trial with faith, we saw new waves of people coming. We saw the greeters ministry get even more organized and process the new people. Our leadership team, I think, now is the best we've ever had, with 5 elders having added Pastor Kirby and then Pastor Gay bringing their knowledge and experience and skill to our ministry and to our decision making. And of course, with Pastor Kirby coming, allowing us to support for the first time a full-time local evangelist, that also allowed us to share fruit in another ministry. With 9 dedicated deacons and 6 women teachers, God is working. And I think we have, although I'd have to ask Pastor Gabe, something like 15 small groups. And of course, mentioning Pastor Gabe, our first associate pastor, and I don't know if anyone rejoiced more than me. Gabe has been so faithful, a workhorse, and so helpful in many ways. We could see how it was God that orchestrated working through that selection committee that we put together from a variety of different folks in the church to identify him and bring him here. One thing that we had prayed for also was a radio ministry for many, many years. And during this time, Discover Hope Radio was launched under Dave Nixon's leadership. And we need support and help for that. Please pray for the financial support of that, as we want to see the listeners support that more and the church be able to support it less. Ravi has taken over leadership of our Bible Institute, and he is overwhelmed with a lot of things going on in his life. That is another crucial ministry that needs indeed more workers in it as well. And though it's the same Mid-Atlantic Bible Fellowship that became Grace Advanced Bible Fellowship, now is called the Masters Fellowship Mid-Atlantic. and always trying to stay in step and in tune with our names with whatever is going on out in California, where they lead this movement nationally. Of course, we've had VBS started with Annette's leadership, Growing Disciples as our first hour classes under Pastor David's help, and with Elias and also Colleen putting so many hours into that. We have a new ministry with folks coming and helping our classrooms. If you like to do that, by the way, get involved with that. We call them our classroom assistants. And Jeff Lipko and others have been stepping forward to help the teachers not have to do anything to get their classrooms ready other than just show up and be ready to teach with a good and humble heart. Of course, the return of my pancreatic cancer happened during this time as well. The Lord allowed me to see some of the major prayer requests I've been praying for decades, and then had the return of pancreatic cancer, which we know 99% of the time results in the death of the person that has that. But that also resulted in some very serious prayer meetings, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in a couple of cases. And through this, all of us have a better understanding of how we must rely on the power of God in prayer. We are all thanking God for the 5-year mark that I, as a recipient of God's mercy, have had as we wait to see what is God doing. And I debate every single day, and He won't tell me what He's doing. And I guess I have to live by faith, just like you do as well, to wait to see what is He going to do. During this time, we lost my precious mom, who had been financial support, prayer support of this church. She is in her eternal home, and at least demonstrated, along with Pastor Ramoser and others like Paul Bodwin and Susan Moraz, whom we mentioned, and Miss Lily Pierce and others, how do you stay true to Christ all the way to the end? That's what we want to be, right? That's the value of watching the saints go through the veil and to the other side, although we can't watch the other side. Improvements here continue to happen. Counseling is greatly improved. There's much greater organization in our care ministry. Deacons now have a new leader with Brian Wilson. Our local evangelism has got better organized with Norman Fowler. Our tech people have realized how important they are. Trevor has helped our website, Josh and Sasan and Rashawn and Kara and others with a sound system, Desmond with the online streaming, and Sean Lynch with all he does with the phones and Wi-Fi. And I'm sure I've missed someone in all of that that's been critical to all of us. Soon, God willing, our resource center will finally open and our library that we've been praying about for years. We have added teachers to Growing Disciples through the years, like Larry and Elias. Elias to our worship leadership. Chris has honed our usher teams after Steve Brown had served to help with that. Our men's ministry has new men stepping up, like Walter and Sasan and Danny Tyler and others that are helping out with that and helping Steve. And we have new help in the office as well from volunteers, new tutors in Hope Academy and administrative help with Hope Academy. This year has had some of our strongest challenges, and as I see you sitting out there today with a mask on, and you guys are not anywhere near as loud as you used to be when I preached, by the way, and I'm blaming that on the masks, but watching you out there, we've had not just my cancer, but piled on top of this virus that I think when we all thought started might last a month or two, and now look how it's impacting us. And the Lord gave us John Stitz and other people with an understanding about how to guide us through such a strange time as this. And now dealing with society's unrest, and that unsettles many of us for different reasons. We see injustice, and we want and wish we could make that perfect, but we can't. We also worry about forces in politics that may, for the first time, make it hard to even preach against homosexuality or things like that. And we realize that we may be in the time where the church in America actually gets persecuted. Well, brothers and sisters, this is not the full history. There are many more people, and my apologies to those that I failed to mention. God willing, one day someone will write it all out. There have been many people doing many different ministries, and their names were not mentioned. Maybe it'll not only be written out, but we can have pictures being taken, because I know there are thousands and thousands of pictures of our church from the very first day onward that have been taken. I suppose I could talk here for hours more about all that God has done and the contribution of some folks that have long moved on to other parts of the country. But as you have heard this history today, my prayer is that it impacts you in some way, maybe to dedicate yourself to giving, to realize that difficult times for the church is nothing new. Maybe it would allow you to get off of the couch and volunteer more time, to realize life is short and that you're wasting time playing games at home. Maybe it will help you to understand never to say it can't be done because we don't have enough resources, because God has already done it when there were not enough resources. I hope it will help our young people to understand that all of us old folks didn't fight all those years to not have you rise up at this time and bring your energy and not a new direction for the church, but new ideas and new vigor. My greatest concern for the future is that the zeal for the vision of this church will fizzle out among the church members as leaders focus on lesser important things. Alan warned us through the years that a movement can eventually turn into a stale or dead monument. I hope you can see that this is not something we want to have happen. Rather, we want you to see the great promise that lies ahead of you. Truly, the fruit of this church, if the Lord Jesus tarries in heaven, hasn't even been halfway reached. There is so much more that you can do, either by getting involved and helping other people. And it doesn't have to be a formal ministry. So many have been contributing to the church for years, and their name was not given, but they just help people and come alongside people and serve them and give them a ride or help them in some other way. And they're valuable to the life and the dynamic of a word-driven, dynamic church. And if you're young, there's so much that you can do. And if you're new, there's so much that you can do. And if you're old and you're not satisfied with what you're doing, there are things you can change. There's great promise ahead. I hope you see the need to continue to give so we can finally fill out our pastoral staff, because there is need for that as well. People that can harness our volunteers and organize them and train them and then lead them well. Pray about your giving and pray about the future of this church. With a very sick senior pastor and so little staff, on paper, this church should have died out a long time ago. But God formed this church. God matured this church by His word. He gets the credit, and the vehicle was the word of God as the Spirit of God used it. People stepped up in faith. People made decisions by faith at critical times. Brothers and sisters, that is the true story of Hope Bible Church. Don't miss it. In the midst of confused times in the world, in a self-righteous society, we have the only message that can help anybody out there or secure their hope for the future. We are the hope of our community. We hold forth the Word of God. And that is why God placed us here. Amen.
When it comes to struggle, hardship, or outright calamity, it can be hard to maintain a perspective of hope, joy, and comfort. However, as Pastor Tom taught in his message today, Hope Bible Church did exactly this as they relied on the love of Christ and guidance of God's Word. In his study, you learned about the challenges that their congregation overcame by diligently loving one another and leaning on the promises of God.
I am so glad you joined me today to dig deeper into God's Word. Before we share what's coming up next time, I'd like to give you the opportunity to join us in sharing the gospel message here at Discover Hope. Would you prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner of this ministry?
We're a listener-supported radio program, and all gifts are very appreciated. You can get all the information and donate online by visiting hopebible.org/radio. That's hopebible.org/radio.
We hope you truly enjoyed Pastor Tom's reflections on the history of Hope Bible Church, from the birth of the church, the challenges they face, and where they are today. In this series, you learned about the importance of holding fast to sound doctrine, loving others as Christ loved us, and how growth is sure to follow these crucial pillars. What a testimony of God's faithfulness. That's all the time we have for today. You can listen to any messages from this series you might have missed by visiting hopebiblechurch.org. And be sure to join us again, right here on Discover Hope.